Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. Today, we are diving into a whole new topic, which we are so excited to explore. And that is the topic of gender identity, where we're going to be covering all the colors, textures, and frameworks that the rainbow of gender and identity hold within. And today we are joined by one of my dear friends from Maui, who is just such an inspiration in so many lives and such an eloquent speaker, communicator, and clear channel. And a dear brother who I thought of instantly when this topic came through. And his name is Barrett Lee Tegner. And he is a writer, inspirational speaker, and a mystic devoted to the integration of the soul. So this is sure to be a potent transmission of truth that helps us to integrate how we perceive identity and gender. And for those of you who are watching this, you can also check out our podcast via Spotify or watch this full video on YouTube. For those of you listening or watching, we also have a Instagram. You can join and follow this conversation at Cis Society World. And if conversations like this excite you and you want to dive in even deeper, please message us privately to join our WhatsApp private community. So without further ado, let's jump into the conversation for today. Hello, Barrett. Welcome.
Aloha. Thank you. Yeah, I'm super excited today. And just remarking from before, I had just had a conversation about this in a group, and then you messaged me asking, and I was like, this is so beyond perfect. So I'm really excited to be here today.
Yeah, of course. It's such a synchronicity. I feel like I probably heard your psychic ping of you having this conversation, and then you literally just flooded into my mind. I'm like, of course, Barrett, I have to reach out to him.
Yeah. So, so excited to have you on, by the way. She was like, my friend Barrett is coming on the show. And I was like, yes. And I like immediately felt equally excited through the transmission of energy. So yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to this convo.
Yeah, and I know I already mentioned this, but you just have one of the clearest, most open channels of anyone that I've met. And I would just love to hear, how would you, because this is a whole new topic, right? Gender identity. So maybe just starting off with the basics, like how would you explain gender and identity and how this really is so important in our world?
It's something that I'm exploring in a way. I'm doing a class this weekend called The Anatomy of the Soul and How to Read the Fine Print. And it's all about the architecture of the soul. So how we're talking about gender identity can happen in multiple different ways. And one of those ways is at the soul level, and then also the ego mind level. And neither is actually favorable. And a lot of like spiritual seekers will, you know, of course they want to be in their soul versus their ego mind, but actually, you know, just the process of healing or ascension is the disintegration of ego into the soul. But then the descension or integration, the integration of the soul is the light, the soul illuminating the ego. So we get to like play. And one of my favorite things that I've said for years is become so free of identity, you can play in it. Like when it doesn't matter, like just feel that for a second. Like it feels so good to just free to explore. And so there's different layers in which that identity can come through. And a soul is a sequence of universal life. So the universal life, or what we call God, source, whatever, is one energy. And as it comes out and emanates, it creates these different sequences or patterns that consciousness logs into and explores through these various avenues. And so gender identity is one of those ways that we play with patterns and sequences to explore just the experience, right? So from my perspective as a child, I was always very like aware, and then like aware like three steps behind that as well, like all these different layers of information. So it's like I would feel this like feminine energy, and I would play with dolls and, you know, just act out the more what we think of as feminine things, whatever that even means at the end of the day. And then I would go into my masculine, and I would feel all of, you know, like I want to play with, you know, army toys and whatever it is, you know. So there would be this like oscillation of my energy, and it kept happening. And then you add in hormones of, you know, high school, and it was this like, what is going on, you know? And there was a particular moment. I was like walking through the hall in high school, and it just hit me. Like, I'm not the one that's actually oscillating. I'm observing the oscillation, and it's like these different energies that are, I didn't know what an activation was at the time, but that's what I would say now, is like different parts were activating. So for me, because of my awareness of energy and the experience of it, and just like the knowing of what's happening without knowing why I know, I didn't necessarily go into like an identity crisis, because it just was like, oh, why is this happening? And then I would get an answer and then move on. But the flow of identity and all the experiences that can be held are within the ego mind, right? So the ego mind is what allows us to experience and explore all of these options that don't exist at soul level, right? So it's like at soul level, you're just looking, you're just observing, you're the silent still being that is just there. You can't even point to it if you tried. And then there's the ego mind, which is the polarization. And that gives us the spectrum of gender to play in. And for me, when I tried to get attached to a particular way of being as if that was who I was pulling an abstraction of myself and making that me. And so it would always feel really small and like contained. And, you know, in tropical, my moon is in Sagittarius, so there's no containing this. So yeah, I guess, I mean, that's been my experience of gender identity in this lifetime.
Wow, this ties in so beautifully with the last topic, like the tail end of divine union, because ironically enough, it was coming back to this idea of how we are really all of it, and we're everything. And when we try to like label ourselves as either, even in these relationships, as like masculine and feminine, realizing that we have all of that within us and everything that lies in between. And so I'm already seeing this connection of, that's kind of how gender is too. It's like, just because we're born with a certain body part, and this is a whole nother topic, but I was reading this crazy science article about how like some 3% of kids are like given the wrong, you know, diagnosis about their gender, basically. And because the X and the Y chromosomes get mixed up and all of these things. So it's just like, we're all of it. And I think that to reflect on what you're sharing, is that we can embrace the full rainbow, the full spectrum of our gender, and be able to play in that. But so oftentimes, because of the way that we're born, we get assigned a certain gender, and then we really get stuck in that. And we really miss out on this beautiful opportunity that we have at an egoic human level to be in that full playground. It's like this whole playground is available to us, yet we're just on the teeter-totter the whole time. Like, there's a slide, and there's a lazy river, and there's like, you know, that really thick, that wheel thing that spins around, and it makes me want to throw up every time I sit on it, but it's super fun, you know, to take a ride every now and then. And so like, that's the way I'm viewing it. It's like a playground. And so often this goes back to our childhood, like you're saying, where we're given Barbies and dolls and told we can dress up if we're a girl. but not for a boy. And it's so sad because I feel like that really traumatizes us as an adult to step into our full expression of fluidity and expression of how we want to play with all of our polarities and all of our colors. So maybe we can go back into that even a little bit more. And you could share a little bit more like around your childhood and how you grew up with that. And like, was that something that was embraced by your parents, by your community?
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. And something I don't really think about often. My immediate family was like a mixed bag. There was no problem with me playing. Like, I just did whatever I wanted to do. My parents stopped parenting me around like 13. They didn't tell me till later, but like, just let me kind of make my own choices. And I grew up in Oregon, graduated high school in 2009. So even by that time, the culture, even though the city that I actually lived in was very conservative, the generalized attitude in Oregon is like, I don't know, 10 lifetimes beyond the rest of the US. So it was just like, people weren't even coming out as gay anymore in that time. They were just like post-label, you know? And this is like 2009, like 15 years ago, you know? So that's like pretty advanced, I feel like, for a culture. And so at school, there was always, you know, so much fluidity around that and availability to just kind of be. My dad is also an Aquarius Pisces cusp. So there's a lot of like fluidity in like his own expression. And my entire family is very, whatever you want to call it, queer, different, you know, non-conforming and all neurodivergent. And so every individual family unit for many generations has had that one person in each family unit. So it was just like, there was like support and then also resistance, because of the trauma of having a family that is very different, and especially at a time when it wasn't so acceptable. And so it's this been this like amalgamation of different things. But yeah, I mean, I did what I wanted. I played with Barbies, played with the boys. But I never really thought about it. So I guess in that way, I'm having my own realization of like how open that my experience was, even though it felt pretty oppressive in many ways. I think just from the empathic level, feeling everyone else's like unease around certain things. But for me, my experience was to basically make whatever choice that I felt in the field was wrong or like not good, like, oh, you can't wear this, like, it's not okay, then I would go do that thing to just prove that it's fine, you know?
That sounds like you had a really supportive family that really was embracing of you playing in that field and trying on all different sorts of archetypes and costumes, and that you got to really explore maybe more than some of your other peers in a similar situation might have been able to. Like, I know, for instance, in my family growing up in Minnesota in the Midwest, in a very conservative Christian family, my brother, he didn't have that same opportunity. And I remember specifically, like, I would want to paint his nails and dress him up, and my parents were like against that. Like, they did not want me to dress him like a girl. Yet I feel like if I wanted to, I feel like I actually do remember distinctly putting like a fake beard on me and like dressing like a lumberjack, and like me cross-dressing wasn't a problem. But I guess for him, which is like a whole nother thing, do you feel like there's double standards? Because I feel like there are so many double standards around that too.
Well, and also between my parents, you know, like with my mom, like my mom grew up in a family that my grandma was at LA Pride at 80 years old. And like, you know, like that's totally different from like my dad's side, which is like much more military and just like a different vibe. And for him, it was not so easy for me to be who I am and free. And I think just simply because it touches, like, we all just want to be free. And I think so much of the tension around gender identity is like, we actually all want to just be free and allowed to be. And we're like, the mind that thinks that one version is more desirable, right, is going to like try and force that on themselves or on others because they haven't, that person who holds that egoic architecture hasn't yet belonged to themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like when you belong to yourself, like all of these rules, like you just stop thinking about it, you know? And I was just always like that as a child. And I didn't understand why that was so hard for my dad. And even not saying anything, you're feeling it, you know, because you're, whatever you represent in the world, you are clearing out of the fields around you. So when you're empathic, you're going to be feeling all the things that you are triggering just by your natural being. And so when you're, you know, free in your gender expression, you're just naturally going to like trigger any kind of like contortions in people's mental bodies as a result of you being free. So yeah, it's definitely a journey. And I think the background noise of like having felt those things still trips me up sometimes in my own exploration of self. And I think the medicine that has been most impactful is just making the choice that feels uncomfortable, because that will expand the edge of my freedom. And
I mean, yeah, and the freedom of those around you, right? Like what I'm hearing you say is really lighting me up. It's like, it can be uncomfortable to be in that space of freedom because, like you said, it's triggering the people around you. But in a way, in the quantum field, it's kind of, it's giving them the opportunity to feel that freedom as well too, right? Like it's showing them that it's possible, whether they choose to accept it or not in their sovereign path is up to them. But it feels so incredibly important to like stand in the space of what's true and what feels good for you. Yes. And that I think is super badass. And yeah, this topic, like as soon as we decided to do it, so much started coming up. And, you know, like you were talking about before, like it's in the field and then it just presents itself. And yeah, I grew up like you, Elfina, like super traditional ideas of masculine and feminine. Like I was a little girl a small child who just liked to do what she likes to do. And that involved like playing outside and climbing trees. And I was labeled a tomboy, you know? And then my brother was, you know, doing those things with me and then playing with Barbies and getting ridiculed for it. So like, I was seeing these kind of examples of like, this is right, this is wrong. Like, if you're a good girl, you're supposed to play with dolls. You know, if you're a good boy, you're supposed to like play with the G.I. Joes. And now that I'm reflecting on it and looking back on it, it didn't feel good, obviously. Like I felt like I was, you know, universal life force energy trying to be contained into like a small rabbit cage. And yeah, I'm grateful to be having this conversation. And I'm curious how, like, we've taken this zoomed out perspective, right? Which I think your compassionate take on this is so incredibly beautiful. But what I've been seeing in the collective right now around gender identity are these specific titles, right? You know, like queer, gay, straight, trans. Like, do you feel like these, like, if we zoom in, if these, what do you feel about these titles? And like, do you feel like they're supporting people to have a container to fit into? Do you feel like they're minimizing people if they're so attached to them? Like, what is your standpoint on that?
Yeah, that is a very sensitive topic. And I feel like only someone like me can like actually talk about it. because I'm obviously so feminine. But when I don't tune into, like, again, it's like the ego mind of like the good or the bad. It's like, what does it feel like? And I had this most amazing experience when I was in Pahoa a couple of weeks ago, and it was just like shocking to me how I was experiencing things because it was so different. And what happened was I was like interacting with these people that have values, perspectives, identities, experiences that are so far away from what for this particular being would be correct. For me, right? That's all correct as always for the self. And I noticed there was this energy of certain people that it would feel, I just wouldn't want to be around them. I'm like, I don't know what is going on over there, but it doesn't feel good to me. And then there would be other people where it was just like, yes, that is you. Like, you are living in your alignment, even as radically different as it may be from my understanding and experience and correctness. I can feel the correct alignment within you for that. And I find this also in this topic is that there are people who are, I call it consensus reality, which is that, you know, everyone lives in their own reality. There's like 8 billion universes, you know, at least. Consensus reality is when you take the mind and you're like trying to get everyone to agree to a concept or idea, but that concept or idea is inherently a symbol. So when you say masculine, it's a symbol. It only means what it means to you. Feminine only means what it means to you. Non-binary only means what it means to you. And so there's kind of this like twofold hook that we can get into when we're interacting with people of like various types of expressions, because they are either highly attached to how they're being perceived, which is fine, doesn't seem to be like an enjoyable experience, but that's just how I observe it. Maybe that's a way that the soul is integrating, you know, self-assertion in some way. And there's that pattern that also needs to be collectively worked out. But it, in a way, that's why I say for so long, like even when I came out as gay at 17, I was like, this isn't even what I'm saying isn't even real. It's like, I'm just me, but I'm just telling you like that, you know? And it's that same thing, because if you can be so free of identity, you can play in it. That doesn't mean that you won't use like non-binary or whatever feels relevant in the moment. But when you're like rigidly attached to these terms, it's only producing like a level of frustration and unmetness and abandonment within yourself. Because that abandonment is, unless people see me the way that I see me, I'm abandoned. Basically, your belonging is in the hands of others. And so it's this full allowance of like the alignment that people have within themselves. And it's like, wow, you're having that experience over there. That does not align with me in any way, shape, or form. You're allowed to experience that. And, you know, for some people, it feels calm in their system, you know, when people are like, whatever they want to identify as, and it just feels relaxed and okay. Like there's an integration that's there that isn't necessarily obvious in every single individual that is expressing this. And I think that's where the consensus reality comes in, where this, we need to all agree to an externalized thing in order to belong together. And it's actually, I feel like on a collective cultural level, we're learning how to belong to ourselves first and then express our true essence. And then we get to enjoy all of the diversity that is here. And there's no rules or ways that it needs to show up. My expression and experience of masculinity and femininity is my own. And I'm the one that gets to retrieve all the information about what that means to this particular sequence of universal life. the source of universal life is animating all of us. So it is the only thing that is here. I am. So when that is freely allowed to show up and illuminate this, now we're in the playground. But if we're trying to take this and make it okay with a perceived idea of that, which is not a source of all life, but a consensus reality that we all must agree to in order to deem ourselves safe. Like, I'm not safe unless I say I'm heterosexual male, right? Like, that would be the old version of that. We're moving into these, you know, nuances of energy that are just the collective expression. You know, it's like the sea of kelp. We're all just like undulating these different experiences, and they're not, that's why it's so funny, but like the way the mind attaches to an experience as if that is you makes it so difficult to actually grow as a soul, because like these little movements in your field that you're like, oh, I'm feeling this way or that way, I don't know what to like clamp down on to like make sure I know who I am. And I don't think it's necessarily about who I am, but like, who do I want to be right now? And that exploration, I think, is going to loosen up this idea of gender identity and the labels, because we can actually use them as long as we're aware that I am not that. This is something that I am pointing to that provides an expression that is inherently an abstraction of self. Meaning it's like a tiny fraction that we're like super amplifying to like this is me. Like, is it? Or was that just like a part of you that you've now claimed as yourself? And now any moment that someone decides to push on that and challenge it, even if they're just like talking about it, right? It's going to inflame that ego. And again, the ego isn't wrong. It's just recognizing the energetic patterns that are playing out where we're attached to a thing, thinking that's us. And it's time for all of us to soulfully grow up and realize that it's this piece behind us that's observing it. Like, it's God and drag, like play, play, play.
Yeah. Wow. I love this so much. And this is exactly what the Gene Keys, I don't know if you follow the Gene Keys, but last week it was talking about how the Gene Keys was the pathway from mediocrity to exquisiteness. And it was all about how we have all of these pieces of us. And the more that we stop identifying with any of them as who we are, but we just understand that we're fragments of all of it, the more that we become all of it, the more that we become none of it. Mm-hmm. And it's like this full circle. It's like, how can I be all of it to the point where I don't identify with any of it? And then I was like having this identity crisis with my partner, because, you know, trying to like, this isn't the same as gender, but it's like a similar feeling of what you're explaining, where it's like, well, are we poly? Are we open? Are we this? Are we that? Like, how do we explain ourselves? And I'm just like, I don't want to use any of these titles. Honestly, I don't resonate with any of these titles. And I don't want people to project their own stigma and expectations based off of titles, right? You say you're homosexual, you say you're bisexual. People, all of a sudden, they have all these expectations for you and projections of you and ideas of how you should act and how you should behave and what you're going to do. And what decisions that you're going to make and what you're open for. And I don't want people projecting that onto my relationship. I want to be a masterpiece onto myself. I don't want to be able to be replicable. Oh my goodness, I can't say this word. I don't want to be able to be replicated, right? And that's the whole idea. It's like, we can't be replicated. We are our own masterpieces, and we get to surprise ourselves every day. We get to try on new identities. We get to try on new roles. We get to try hooking up with this type of person, or try this type of dynamic in how we're showing up with the way that we dress, or the decisions that we're making about our interpersonal or romantic relationships. And I think that these titles that we use, they provide us a false sense of safety in a way, like that idea of schemas. In psychology, we learn about schemas because that's how our brain likes to organize things, likes to box things into schemas. It helps us to feel like we're in control so we can understand and categorize someone, and it helps us to feel more in control. But the reality is that we're not in control. And even when we, and especially when we try to control ourselves and place ourselves into these boxes, that's the scariest place to be of all. And so, yeah, I went through this whole identity crisis last week, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I think I'm starting to tap into this feeling of how so many people who identify as non-binary or fluid or homosexual or bisexual or trans must feel like on a completely massive scale in their whole identity of how the world perceives them and how they're trying to perceive themselves. And I just like cannot be boxed in. My north node Sagittarius, I like, I cannot be boxed in. Like, I am my own unique masterpiece. And yeah, I want to be all of it. I am all of it.
I hear that we're just remembering that we're these infinite, like multidimensional beings that are perpetually in flux. And like when we can remember that, that's where the real freedom is. It's like anything. If I wake up, yesterday I'm straight and I continue to tell that story, I don't allow for that universal like life force energy to ultimately come through and surprise me and to almost like use me as a muse, you know, as like a puppet, like in this beautiful experience of life, and to like surrender to that feels so incredible. And it feels like I'm taking my power back, you know, like I just am what I am. And I remember, you know, I've always just loved humans, like, and connected with humans. And I still get asked to this day, because I do feel like there can be this like hyper attachment to labeling, you know, and that's part of, as you explained it, Barrett, like moving through the patterns of the collective to kind of be worked out and shifted. And it's like, it's divine. The pendulum shifts from one side to the other. But anytime someone would ask me, I'm like, they're like, are you bi? Like, are you a lesbian? And I'm like, honestly, like those terms feel really like uncomfortable in my body. I just am what I am. And I just love humans, and I love connecting with souls. And like their attachment to what they are doesn't matter to me. It's just like you were saying, like you just feel good around certain people and you don't feel good around others. And that's how I want to live my life. That's how I am living my life. That's how I'm committed to living my life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that feels really good. I feel really good.
I was just talking about, you know, this, like, even in the element of like monogamy or polyamory or like all the different types of things that you can be, is that, again, not that it's right or wrong, but it's all egoic. It's all like, this is the form that I'm going to place myself in. This is the form that I'm going to place myself in. If that's what you want, go for it. But to like claim it as like an identity, like brings everything into this like really small space where you can't actually like explore what's authentic and organic to your own being. And for me, you know, it's like, for me, everything is energy. Like I've never, you know, I've always been with men, but like, you know, I'm just open to, you know, the actual energy and the connection, right? So if that's there, amazing. There would be nothing that would stop me from being with a woman, because it was never about gender or gender expression or identity or any of these things. It's just energy and presence. And I think like this larger cultural shift that we're experiencing is all about like coming into the soul. And because the soul doesn't have those identities, that as the soul is coming in, it's like the ego mind is trying to figure out, like, it's like trying to create stability and control. And it's just like your soul is coming in and flushing out all that's not resonant with who you are on that level. So it's, yeah, it's so exciting to hear you in your own expression, experience of that. So beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I love how you're sharing that it's just about your truth, and like your truth has just been to this point that you've been with men, but you're open. And I feel like that's what's really required, is just a continual checking in with the truth of what's being communicated through our soul's expression, through our heart's truth in every given moment, and how that's showing up. And I feel like that can be applied for anything from like a relationship dynamics to your gender expression. Like maybe one day you wake up and you just feel more feminine and you want to dress really girly. I mean, this happens for, I think, a lot of us, especially with women in the cycles that we go through. And I'm sure it happens with men too. And how oftentimes do we suppress that? Especially men, I know, because they don't feel like they have the permission to. And this is something I've been talking with my partner about a lot and really supporting him in like expressing himself more in a more feminine way. Like, you know, I've been supporting like ordering some like fun, more feminine type costumey clothes and wigs and just been like, yeah, you want to like cross dress, like paint your nails. I'm just like super supportive of it because I just feel like there's so many men that haven't been able to explore that in the way that they want to. And what's ironically funny about that is that the more that he actually polarizes his expression in a feminine way, his energy actually like becomes more masculine. It's like almost like they polarize each other. I'm like, you feel more masculine even though you're wearing nail polish and my jeans right now. Like, you feel more masculine. It's the trippiest thing ever. So it goes to show that the polarities, they really do interact with each other. And it's all just like rotating and swirling in one giant pool. And it's not separate from each other. They're connected.
Well, and the masculine, people think, like, because people think the masculine is like all of these ideas about the masculine. And the masculine, you know, people say that they want like an alpha male. Like, no, what you really want is a completely still male, because that is the energy of the masculine. The masculine is the completely silent mind. And it's just the reflecting pool of consciousness that the feminine gets to see herself in. And so that expansive, you know, it like pool of reality that can be is then like seen by that one like frame. It's like the masculine is like this one frame of the entire film that we get to like witness. And this is happening internally. But when we get attached to like what each frame means, then we're not actually even experiencing the gift of the masculine, which is to bring the form momentarily to this radical experience of phenomenal life.
And so good.
Yeah, like I want everyone to feel as free as they want to be, you know? And I feel like we're moving into that world and it just feels really exciting.
It does. I feel like I've been like in my human design, I'm a provoker, you know, it's like one of my things. And I've always triggered people, not intentionally, just like through my general state of being. And with my past partner, I would often like poke and provoke him because he's like, I'm straight, I'll always be straight, like I have no interest in men. And I felt in my body that it wasn't a full truth for him, you know. We have the ability to do that, where you're like, you are not in your full truth, you are resisting like this potentially beautiful space of exploration. And you can like feel the fear and kind of the tension in it. And I would just continue to kind of poke, and I'm like, come on, like, you're not even like a little curious, like, don't you want to like just open up your heart and just like feel the beauty of life? And he's like, nope, never, nope, nope, nope. And I'm like, all right, cool, I get to accept that. And yes, still occasionally like poke and provoke and just like, you know, like playfully get curious about spaces. Because yeah, like how we were raised, Elfina, there's like there were these really clear structures of masculine and feminine energy that can feel so suffocating, that like inherently and beautifully enough, because of that space of resistance that we're fed, have allowed us to kind of seek and get curious about the other side of like, oh, okay, like this doesn't feel good to me. Like, what's on the other side of it? So it's interesting that this kind of like repression of one thing, actually not even interesting, I believe it's how the universe works, like this level of repression and resistance like causes this level of expansion and curiosity to happen in consciousness. And yeah, it's really cool. It's all very cool.
Yeah, as the repression heals, the inflammation is that final step of conflict resolution. So the repression creates all of this release, and then it goes a little bit out further than it would normally, and then, you know, it'll settle into whatever it does.
And I wonder if even using these terms like masculine and feminine can also be really polarizing and feel like limiting for a lot of people too. And if we're not wanting to use these terms, or we're getting really wrapped up in over-identifying with these terms, I'm just curious, Barrett, like no one really has the answer, I'm sure, but what do you see the future looking like? Like, how do we explain certain concepts and ideas without necessarily like boxing ourselves into them? Do we just throw out all these terms together? Do we create new words, new terms? Or what do you see the future of this looking like?
I feel like the future is actually going to just be more telepathic. Like, we're going to find these ways in which we've interacted on this plane to become, they have become, and they will increasingly become more burdensome. And the stillness of just being in whatever that is, in whatever capacity, is going to be more enjoyable. And the pressure of the soul integrating is just increasing. Like, all the things, the healing, all of that stuff is just the sensation of what's leaving as your soul enters physical form. And so this is happening individually, collectively, on the planet itself. And so these terms, like, people are going to spin themselves, they're already spinning themselves out on trying to like lock down on a particular way of seeing themselves or being seen. And not that any of that is right or wrong, it just is what it is. And only you can know if that's right for you. And maybe it's just what's right for right now. And it doesn't have to be this thing that's so concrete. And that's where I think the magic of the marriage of the form and the formless can actually happen, riffing off your divine union, the end of that topic, because again, it's like when you can allow the freedom of your formless self, which is everything. So like, I internally laugh when someone tells me that they're not even interested in all of these things, because I'm just like, that doesn't even make quantify in my brain, because like, I'm everything. So like, of course I could, if that felt right for this sequence of my life, but maybe it isn't, you know? And so I feel like because the soul is really pressurizing into form right now, and that marriage is occurring, you know, if you follow energetics, like the aurora, that was like very strong energy of divine union, which is just with that in here, whatever that wants to be. And so how could that necessarily even have a term to describe it? You can, if you want, and then realizing that that never defined you. And again, cycling back to become so free of identity that you can play in it. You know, today I'm a little sissy girl, like whatever that means, you know, and then tomorrow I'm like a dominant man full of like all this masculine power. Whatever that means, right? Because it only means that to me, whatever that means. So it's just this like, if we just allow whatever pain that we feel in our identity boil to the surface, the pain isn't the sensation of us not knowing who we are. It's that who we are is seeing through a lens of distortion that is providing us an experience on a felt, energetic, emotional, mental level that is showing us the distortion in the field. This isn't me. This is like, even when I'm feeling sad or, you know, hurt or abandoned or whatever these things are, right? It's like, what lens of distortion am I looking through right now that is seeing my wholeness in this way, in this experience? And it's not that it's wrong for me to experience that, but something is off. And so it's just this, in, you know, internal alignment. And that's why, you know, we're moving into a time when even in human design, what is it, the year 2027, like we're moving into that individual state where everyone is hyper individualized, and society starts to break down. It's already happening because we're all learning to belong to ourselves and then share from that place versus trying to fit into what we all agree is okay. So it's going to be an interesting next decade, I would say, of unfurling ourselves into the freedom of who we just naturally are anyways.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, something that's been coming through around this, and what I'm hearing you say is this, the concept, not the concept, like I believe we are all one, right? On a universal level, we are all interconnected, but we were also born into individual bodies with like individual expressions and individual gifts. And so when you're reminding me of this transition that's happening globally, right? Like we're coming into this individualization. It excites me because it reminds me of like how I can remember that my internal compass of truth guides me in every moment, and that's perfect, and also still hold the duality of like I am connected to this oneness and this grand interconnection, but I'm still what I am, you know, like and to be able to hold both of those things. And yeah, it's really an exciting time to be alive, and there's a lot shifting right now. And you explain it so eloquently, Barrett. Like you have such a like beautiful way of explaining things in a poetic way that's just so digestible. And like, yeah, it's just your words land. They really land. And I'm grateful that you're here right now.
Oh, thank you. Super, yeah. Super appreciated.
Bringing the cosmic code in the spaceship and landing the spaceship.
Yeah, I think next time someone asks me what I am, because like I have like a little angst when people ask me my pronouns. I'm like, oh, seriously, I'm just me, you know. But now I think I have creative authority. That's what I'm gonna say. What are you? I have creative authority. I am free.
Yes.
That hits my womb so deeply because I've been feeling stickiness around it too and been in a lot of spaces where people are like, what are your pronouns? And I'm like, well, I am me. Like I am what I am, you know, and that feels good to me in the same way that identifying with this pronoun feels good for you, right? Like that's just where I am. And the more that we can honor that truth, like the more sovereign and powerful that I feel within the space of my own being. So we are what we are.
Yeah. And we can't be replicated. Like we are our own individuated being. We are our own exquisite, unique masterpiece unto ourselves. I am who I am. I am what I am. And there's no comparison. And it's just so funny to me that we're born and then automatically everyone's just placed into two main categories. Like that doesn't make sense at all. Like what? We're either a boy or a girl. Like even though we're all unique, completely unique souls, it just doesn't make any sense to me that we've tried to completely strip our individuation to the point of boiling it down to basically two groups, two categories. So I think like we've been so suppressed, and now we're just, yeah, we're remembering the full spectrum of who we are and what we can be outside of these labels and titles and expectations. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm feeling like so much spaciousness and this disintegration of my identity and like a fragmenting of my whole world is like happening right now. And I'm starting to see that, yeah, I just don't really identify with most of these labels that others have been using or that I've been using. And I'm feeling like called to go into this new era of just not labeling myself at all. I don't want to use labels.
So liberating. Really,
I want to be a labelless.
Mm. Yeah. An anti-labelist. gets to label like,
what are you? I'm everything and I'm nothing. And you can't label me, so don't even try.
It's like, yeah, we've been painting like just two colors for so long, like you said, like black and white. And now we're remembering that there are infinite colors that we get to paint with. Mm. And we are the artists of our lives. Like, what are you painting your canvas with?
Mm.
You know, truly.
Mm. Mm. Well, as we wrap up this potent conversation, I'm sure we could just keep talking for a long time about this, but I just wanted to open up the floor to you, Barrett, to share anything more that's coming through around this topic, and then also sharing with the audience any special offerings, any exciting news that you're working on in your own professional life that you want the world to know about, that and how they can connect with you further as well.
When you can allow yourself to just be in every single moment and feel it, nothing is dictating anything. You're not deciding what things mean. Things aren't deciding who you are. And the experience of gender identity is a way in which the soul dreamed up just another way to find out how free you are. And in any exploration of that, in any oscillation, whether the perspective feels up or the perspective feels down, either way, that oscillation is just propelling the whale forward. And just the beauty of exploring and not needing the answer, but being the answer, whatever that is. And that flow is sometimes easier or not so much, depending on our own attachments and wounds and experiences growing up. And at the end of the day, you're beautiful no matter what you choose to experience or identify as or not identify as. And I love you. And this weekend is The Anatomy of the Soul, and How to Read the Fine Print. And I will be talking about how your true divine nature integrates into this reality through the divine matrix, which creates the experiences of all the others in various forms that I will help you identify so that your life can propel much more easily through catalysts and soulmates and twin flame or mirror souls or non-playing characters, which I call non-family characters. There's all these various forms of aspects of consciousness that you're talking about earlier, the one self, right? Holding the one self, but also the individuation. So this is basically an integration class for how to hold both of those simultaneously, recognizing and honoring the divine in all, and also how it's, you know, playing for you to grow and expand. And that happens through gender identity and all the different things. So it's going to be super fun. And you can always find me on Instagram at Barrett Lee Tegner. And some pretty exciting things are going to be moving through, going to be creating like a weekly event on Sundays called The High Vision. And just like, think about like church, but like the way it should be. And an exploration of all the ways in which we can inspire ourselves in the world. And I went to school for finance. And so part of it is setting up a system of debt-free collaborative cooperatives in different communities. So this is like a long-term vision, but for now it's just inspire yourself and remember that the inspiration you give for you also will transform the world. And we hear that, heal yourself and heal the world, but let's make that real. I love you.
And we love you. This is so beautiful. The church that we always wanted without the trauma.
Girl, I was born into a missionary family, went to Baptist school from preschool to eighth grade, like
indoctrinated in that deep indoctrination. Oh, I know.
The church without the trauma. It's so good. The church we always wanted. This is great.
After 7 years of therapy and deep shadow work and, you know, 3 ayahuasca ceremonies. Just kidding. I mean, kind of kidding, but not really. You know, this is great. And these are beautiful offerings. And I'm so grateful that you are showing up as such a bright, beautiful beacon of light in the world. And that you're, yeah, that you are just so available for these transmissions to come through and to land. Like Heather said, I feel really inspired, activated, and open to this topic now, and already really taking in these codes and letting them marinate in my being and feeling the spaciousness in my expression, desiring to be shared with the world and unhinged. So yeah, thank you again for joining us, Barrett, and We Are Cis Society. Thank you, each and every one of you who have been listening or watching this. Join us next week for another juicy conversation as we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth and continue to delve into this topic of gender identity.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.